Joe, before you're cleared, do you have a love for God?
Check.
Time for God?
Check.
Is your Bible open?
Check.
Do you have no distractions?
Check.
Well, Joe, we are cleared for takeoff.
Heaven, how might this be my story? Heaven, how very soon I'll be gone. Heaven, how to my mansion in glory. When you hear the trumpet sound, I'm heaven bound.
Cleared for Takeoff is a preparatory program for your faith journey. And now, here is your host, Deacon Joe Montone.
Good morning, my friends, and welcome to Holy Spirit Radio and our program, Clear for Takeoff. My name is Joe Montone, your host, and it is a privilege and a pleasure to be back here with you on the air at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. As you know, Clear for Takeoff requires four things to get started. Number one, do you have a heart for God this morning? Check. Do you have time for God, quality time for God? Check. Are your Bibles open and ready to engage? Check. And my friends, are you clear of distractions so that you won't be taken away and defocused from what we're about to get into? Check. Okay, then we are clear for takeoff, my friends, and our upcoming weekend is filled with several readings from the 31st Sunday of Ordinary Time. Our first reading is from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verses 2 to 6. And here it is. Moses spoke to the people, saying, "Fear the Lord your God, and keep throughout the days of your lives all his statutes and commandments, which I enjoin on you, and thus have long life. Hear then, Israel, and be careful to observe them, that you may grow and prosper the more, in keeping with the promise of the Lord, the God of your fathers, to give you a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. Therefore you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Take to heart these words, which I enjoin on you today, the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God." And my friends, in the book of Deuteronomy this morning, Moses is giving us a great message, some great instructions for our lives, to live a good life, to live and prosper. He tells us that we should fear the Lord. And the book of Psalms says the first step to wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And so Moses gives us that great message to fear the Lord your God and then keep throughout the days of our lives all his statutes and commandments, which he gives us, and thus you will have long life. And he tells us to be careful, to observe all the commandments, that we may grow and prosper the more. So the commandments, once again, that we know throughout our lives are so important. And God gives us that great instruction through the word and through the mouth of Moses himself. An incredible instrument that God used to educate and motivate the Israelites to line up with what God says to do and not to do, which is so important. Easier said than done, because, my friends, we are human beings. We have free will. We have free choice. We are vulnerable. We many times will line up with what feels good versus with what God says to do and not to do. And so I ask you the question, my friends, where are you in keeping the commandments, the statutes, which Moses has laid out for us on the top of Mount Sinai? Where am I? Let's take stock of ourselves. And objectively speaking, are we aligned with our Lord and what he tells us to do? Or are we on the other side and lined up what he says not to do? And the commandments are clear. They help us to live a good life. And Moses tells us to be careful. And anyone who tells you, my friends, to be careful, you want to acknowledge that. I know many years ago, I had a good friend of mine, Fred Schindler, whose wife and daughter were killed in a train accident. And he fought the railroad for 1 year, and he proved in court that the train, when it comes across the tracks about 9 o'clock in the morning in Huntington Valley, basically you're unable to see the lights, which were red at the time that his wife was killed and his daughter were killed, because of the great sunshine in their eyes. They were unable to see, and there were no gates. And Fred fought the railroad for 1 year, and he beat the railroad and proved in court that when you're driving into the sun at 9 o'clock in the morning, as they were going to school, it's just one of those things that you can't do anything about. And there were no gates at the time. And Fred fought the railroad for 1 year, and he beat the railroad and sued them to put gates up throughout Montgomery County. And so through the lives of his wife and daughter, who were sacrificed because of the great tragedy, Fred's efforts saved many lives in Montgomery County. They put gates up, which cost them millions of dollars. Fred never sued them for a dollar. But he did a great thing. He turned a negative into a positive. And when trains are coming down the tracks, I would say it's appropriate to say, be careful with what you're doing, because you could get hit by a train. You could get stuck on the tracks. You could be killed. And today, there are many gates there. And even then, some people will go around the gates and across those tracks. But I use it as an analogy, just as we do in aviation. If you were going to fly around thunderstorms, which the law requires 20 nautical miles for a pilot to fly around a storm and to avoid the storm, okay, you want to be careful. But much greater than those examples is this, the Ten Commandments, the statutes, the laws which God gave Moses to provide for all of us to live by. And so we want to be careful. And he tells us in the book of Deuteronomy that the Lord is our God and the Lord alone. We shouldn't be worshiping anyone else, anything else, than the Lord our God and the Lord alone. Therefore, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And he tells us that we shall love the Lord. It's not that we could love the Lord. We shall do it. We must do it. It's our calling. And Moses makes it clear. How much, my friends, do you and I love the Lord our God? What percentage of our strength are we using to love God? What percentage of our hearts are with God? Or are we negligent? Are we half-hearted? Are we coming up short, giving only 50%? Think about it, my friends. What percentage of time each day, each week, are you giving to the Lord our God? Can you do more? Can you give more quality time as an individual, as a family? Because today, more than ever, we need more of God in America, more of God in our families, more of God's word in our schools, in our lives, at the dinner table. What percentage of your heart is allocated for God, my friends? This is important because over the weekend, I had the pleasure of greeting some people in a hospital. And I didn't know it, but there was a young man there who was questioning the existence of God. And I just tell you that he was stricken with a disease that's curable and treatable. But his doubt started many months ago, and today he's battling this disease, and he grew up with God's word and going to church, and today he questions the existence of God. And so he is got two issues on the table. One, his faith, and number two, his physical health is in jeopardy. So right now we just want to take a moment to pray for this young man, that God will enlighten the Holy Spirit within him to increase his faith in God, and that he will be guided and directed in word and action through the Holy Spirit, and that our Lord Jesus Christ will give him all that he needs to live and prosper and to realign himself with what God says to do and not to do, and have peace in knowing that the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone do we worship. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Let's go to our second reading now, my friends, which is from the book of Hebrews, a letter from the words of St. Paul, Hebrews chapter 7, verses 23 to 28. Brothers and sisters, the Levitical priests were many because they were prevented by death from remaining in office, but Jesus, because he remains forever, has a priesthood that does not pass away. Therefore, he is always able to save those who approach God through him, since he lives forever to make intercession for them. It was fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, undefiled, separated from sinners, higher than the heavens. He has no need, as did the high priests, to offer sacrifice day after day, first for his own sins and then for those of the people. He did that once for all when he offered himself. For the law appoints men subject to weakness to be high priests, but the word of the oath, which was taken after the law, appoints a son who has been made perfect forever. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in the book of Hebrews, my friends, St. Paul tells us that Jesus is always able to save those who approach God through him, since he lives forever to make intercession for them. So, if Jesus is always able to save those who approach God, how does one approach God? How do you engage with your Creator, our Lord Jesus Christ? Many years ago, a woman taught me the difference between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And she taught me how to pray. And God the Father, the Creator of the entire world. God the Son, who was sent by the Father 2,000 years ago to save us from our sins, to offer his body, his life as a sacrifice, to give us access to eternal life with our Father. And God the Holy Spirit, who was sent by our Lord Jesus Christ after his resurrection and ascension into heaven, given to the apostles and our Blessed Mother Mary in the upper room. Our Holy Spirit, who lives within all of us, who is guiding us in word and action each and every day, if we allow him to do it, if we are listening to the Spirit, and if our free will can be put aside so that we can do only the good which the Spirit calls us to, and it's powerful. But how does one approach God? With ego and pride and territorialism, or with great humility and honesty and sincerity and reverence? How should we approach God in the church? With humility? With quality time? Coming in early? Taking time to pray by ourselves? With great reverence, genuflecting as we approach the altar to receive our Lord Jesus Christ in communion? Isn't it important, my friends, that we approach God in a humble way? Our Lord Jesus Christ, who gives us the breath of life, who allows us to live a good life with our children, our wives and husbands, who gives us the blessings of obedience, which is so powerful. How do you and I approach God every day when we wake up? Are we calling out to him, saying good morning? Are we engaged in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Or are we distant? Do we lack time for God? Do we give him minimal time? Is he an obligation, or is he someone that we really, truly want to be with? There's a difference. If there's room for improvement, my friends, I want you to start today by giving God more time, more quality time, approaching him with more humility, more reverence, deep respect. We are called to do it versus the insincerity and disrespect that we sometimes see amongst the flock, the hypocrites, and we can all be there. We have to be careful, like Moses says, be careful to observe all the commandments. One of the great commandments he calls us to is honor your father and your mother. Are we honoring our Father in heaven? Are we glorifying him? Or is it all about me? I want you to think about this objectively, because God calls us to approach him with reverence and deep respect, with honesty and sincerity, showing that we care about what's important to God. This is important. And Jesus says that no one comes to the Father except through me. So if Jesus is always able to save those who approach God through him, isn't it time that we raise the standards and approach the Lord with greater respect? Isn't it time, my friends, that we make more quality time each week for our Lord Jesus Christ and teach our children to do the same by acting as role models, not even telling the children to do more, but doing more and showing them how we do it, leading by example. Jesus, who's holy, innocent, undefiled, separated from sinners, and higher than the heavens, says St. Paul. It's an amazing opportunity we have in front of us that many of us don't take advantage of, spending quality time with our Lord Jesus Christ, giving him minimal time, making him an obligation 1 hour a week. Isn't it time we increase the hour and move him up on the priority list from last to first? Include him in our conversation at the dinner table, at bedtime, at morning breakfast, during work. Isn't it time we include conversation about our Lord Jesus Christ and our Father in heaven and the Holy Spirit to increase our faith, my friends? He says, seek thee first the kingdom of God and everything else will follow. And we know today, my friends, especially our young people in high school and college who are in their early 20s as well, it's all about careers and God is last on the list. Isn't it time that we make him first? Let's go to our gospel reading now. From the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, verses 28 to 34. And here it is. One of the scribes came to Jesus and asked him, which is the first of all the commandments? And Jesus replied, the first is this, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. The scribe said to him, well said, teacher. You are right in saying, he is one and there is no other than he. And to love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is worth more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered with understanding, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. And no one dared to ask any more questions. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And my friends, in the Gospel of Mark today, the apostles asked Jesus, which is the first commandment? The men who walked with our Lord Jesus Christ, who witnessed the miracles, witnessed his life, death, and resurrection, asked him, which is the first commandment? And Jesus replied, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This, my friends, is a goal for all of us. Once again, we see in our readings today the focus on loving the Lord, the focus on giving Him our time in word and action, showing love for our Lord. To love one another, the second greatest commandment. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And God calls us to these two great commandments, and there are no greater than these: loving God and loving your neighbor. How are you and I doing in our lives today? In our homes today? In our churches today? How do we fare amongst the best of Christians? Are we walking the walk? Are we living it out? Or is it just lip service to the Lord? Are we doing all that we can? I want you to think objectively this week about how it is that you, my friends, are going about your lives with regard to loving the Lord with all of your heart. Are we coming up empty? Are we neglecting our Lord? And with all your mind, how much time are you giving to our Lord mentally? How much time do we offer to the Lord in prayer? Our prayer life, how is it? Is it stagnating? Is it non-existent? Or is it growing? Is it fulfilling? What are we doing day in and day out to change that, to keep growing in the Lord? And this is important. God calls us to love Him with all our hearts, mind, soul, and strength. Can we give a little bit more, working towards 100%? Is 168 hours of total time in a week, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. What percentage of time do we give to our Lord? Because 1 hour of the 168 is less than 1%. Think about it, my friends. Step up to the plate, you and I, this week, and give a little bit more to our Lord Jesus Christ and our Father in heaven. That's our show for today. I want to thank you for tuning in with us. May God bless you, and thank you for being here at Holy Spirit Radio and Clear for Takeoff. God bless.
You have been listening to Cleared for Takeoff with your host, Deacon Joe Montone, a weekly preparatory program for your faith journey.